Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me for another 15 minutes of empowerment with Favor Life, where we go through the process of there, walking by faith and not by sight, learning and being empowered in our daily walk by faith, knowing and recognizing that God has called us to a place, to a journey that we would never choose for ourselves, but He Himself has chosen us. And God always chooses unlikely people, and He chooses and calls us to a place of journey that He has chosen to stretch us, to produce fruit in us, to get the glory out of us, and make us, allow us to look like Jesus. And as we move from glory to glory, height to height, depth to depth, faith to faith, in this journey of faith, we see the demonstration of God's power in our life, because the Word of God is being proved and refined in us as we trust Him, as we obey Him, as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we do this, we're seeing lives change. We're seeing ourselves change. We're seeing nations change and races change and generations change by the Word of God and the life of God. And that is amazing, because we give up or ourselves, our lives, for the glory of His. We gain Him. We gain everything that He is, and we live for the glory of God. We've been looking at different individuals in the Bible, seeing them not as superhuman Christians, but seeing them as ordinary individuals that God has chosen. And they don't always make the right decisions, don't always follow the blueprint, don't always consult God. But the thing about it is, because God has spoken a word concerning them, because God chose that individual, because God chose that tribe, that nation for His glory, because He's chosen them, the word is not refuted. The word that God has spoken concerning Him does not fail. God holds that word up in His righteousness. He looks and sees Jesus beyond where they are. He sees the multitudes of their sins covered. He sees the price that was paid, even in the Bible and the Old Testament. We see that because God, the Word of God, lets us know in the book of Isaiah that before the foundations of the world, that God already in His mind saw Jesus crucified. So because He saw Him already crucified, already paying the price, He saw the people, the nation, the generations, the children that will be His, that will belong to Him, that will serve Him and live for Him, that will choose Him over every enemy, over the enemy himself, over the devil himself, and love God with everything. So He saw us before we ever knew Him or recognized Him. That's why He was able to have a word that was going to surpass the failings and the fallings of man. And even then, in the Old Testament, the animals appeased God, because He knew that there was going to be a day when His Son would pay the full price, and He would pay it once and for all, that the blood of Jesus would go back to the very beginning of time, and it would go ahead all into the future, paying the penalty, paying the price for every man, woman, boy, girl, young, old, child, teenager, young person that would ever believe that He is the Lord, that He is the Christ, and receive Him as such and live for Him, let Him be the Lord of their life. So we see that even in our failings, it does not stop the Word of God that He's spoken concerning us. If we would continue to stay, abide, live, remain in Him, it doesn't matter about the failure, your failures, the blood has already covered it, and the mercy and the grace of God, which we grow in, causes us to live in the righteousness of God, because once we repent, that sin that separated us is no longer there. So it's amazing that God has made all preparations for us to walk in victory, have victory, live in victory, and be everything that He says. And I love it, because it takes all the pressure off me, and all I have to do is trust and obey all His instructions and believe, and everything is going to be done by faith. And the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, God and Jesus are going to make sure that happens. So that is a wonderful, wonderful thing to know, that God loves me so, that He's already commanded my victory. He's already finished it and started me back over again with victory that's already commanded to be in this life as an overcoming, as a triumphant one in this life. So it's amazing. we've been looking at individuals, as I said before, and we're going to talk a little bit about when it looks as if what God has spoken for your life is not coming to pass. And we're going to look really at the place of, in the book, look at Samuel. And we're going to look at him coming out of that chapter where he's being qualified, being assigned kingship. And he is there at this place where the prophet has, God has already showed the prophet Samuel that Saul will be king, that Israel has said, we want a king, we want to be like every other nation. And it grieved Samuel because Samuel understood what that meant. But God said he was going to give the people what they asked for. Nothing catches God off guard. He already knew it. He already prepared for it. He already knew that it was going to be through their earthly choice that a natural king would sit on the line, the lineage of what he was preparing, that would usher in his son in the natural realm that was already done in the spirit realm, because he's going to come and sit on the throne of David. So God even knew what they're choosing, that his will was going to be done, which lets us know there's nothing that happens in our life that God has not already prepared for, made a way of escape for, already going to use for his glory, always going to use praise and honor, always going to use to stretch you and make you and cause fruit and growth in you. So we see that Samuel gets the word from God, and goes and understands that Saul is going to be looking for his father's donkey. Saul was the smallest tribe. His tribe was the smallest tribe out of the 12. So he was at a disadvantage. He was at seen in a position that was not good. He was seen in a state by the other tribes as the lesser. And so he saw himself, because other people saw him in that image and that likeness, in the same way. And many times when you see yourself through the words or the eyes or the comments of other people, it makes you second guess who you are in Christ Jesus, who you are in your stance with God. And we see this materializing and manifesting in the reign of Saul, because the people ruled him. And he did what the people wanted more than what God wanted. And that is a dangerous place to be in, whether or not people agree with who you are and what God has called you to be and what God has commanded and assigned for your life. The word of God is final. It is so. It cannot lie and does not lie. Whether people agree with it or not, I am who God says I am, and I will have and possess, walk in and manifest every gifting, every promise, every level, every demonstration of everything that God has said, because God is the final authority on my life. He is the one who has spoken, and his words do not lose strength, do not fail. They're mighty to save, to deliver, and establish, just as his word is established. Whatever he said concerning my life, concerning your life, it is already established. You now have to agree with God and allow the will of God and the process to get you where you need to get to manifest. Because even David had to go through a process. Joseph had to go through a process. Joshua had to go through a process. Moses had to go through a process. Even Esther went through a process. So if they had to go through a process to get to where they were and how God was going to use them, you have to go through the same thing. And you have to do it seeing and recognizing, believing, and embracing what God says about you, and not what people say or how they see you. For even if what they're saying was true, or may be true at the very present moment, it does not refute the fact that God's word for your life is going to establish you, change you, cleanse you. It's going to purify you. It's going to build in you an integrity and a character that you couldn't have built in yourself. And it's going to be done by the word of God, by faith, through the Holy Spirit and the power of the blood of Jesus. So even if what they're saying may be true, as I tell my congregation, give me a minute. Just give me a minute. What you see will not be in just a minute, because God is going to change me as I allow his word and his will in my life to manifest, as I allow His will to be done. I'm going to be changed. The same way the Bible speaks about in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be caught up. And then when it talks about when Jesus comes, as soon as we see him, we're going to be as he is. Well, there is a power of the word that's going to command the change in my life that does not yet appear to men, does not yet appear in this present moment, does not yet appear in my circumstance. And that change is going to be everlasting, eternal change. It's going to be something that the enemy will never be able to come back and steal, because I've allowed the word of God to constrain me and to make me in a place that nothing else has been able to make me. I've allowed it to come in and bring new life to me, cause there to be a new growth, even a change in my character that doesn't even look like me anymore, but looks more and more like Jesus. So as I'm moving in the direction of God and embracing his word, I'm becoming more and more like him by the power of the Holy Spirit, by allowing the word of God day by day to, as I worship, as I adore God, as I read the word, as I meditate, as I have an ear towards God, through the Holy Spirit, we're allowing God to do something great in our lives. So we get here and we see that Saul himself, as he, even when he's being told that he is going to be king, he's anointed for king, in himself, he doesn't want it and he doesn't agree with it. But we have to embrace what God says. God allowed him to go look for the donkeys, but he gets to a place that's called Rachel's grave or Rachel's sepulcher. When he gets there, it is there at this place that God begins to perform great and mighty acts. And we see one act after the next in this king's life. We see God doing something mightily. He's looking for donkeys, which represent where he is going and the place that he's going in authority in the spirit and the natural. Donkeys were used and seen in the Bible as that which kings rode because they were at peace. Jesus came on a donkey. He didn't come on a stallion because stallions represent war. When Jesus comes back in the book of Revelation, he will be on a horse. He will be on a great white horse. He will not be on a donkey. He will be at war. He's coming now for the battles. He's coming now for vindication. He's coming now to destroy enemies. So he's coming on a horse. But when he was getting, right before he was getting ready to be crucified, he was on a donkey and they were singing Hosanna to the highest because he was at a place of peace. He was a king. David rode in, we see him even in the same mannerism. When they were riding on donkeys, they were showing kingship and they were not at war. Saul was looking for a donkey, but it was representation of what he was getting ready to step into as the man of God, anointed for what God had purposed him for. So he was stepping into something, and he had to agree with it, even though he went off looking for the donkeys, which represented his next step of his life. God was allowing him to understand that this is the place that I've called you to, and he had to agree with it. When he gets there, and he gets to the place of Rachel's grave, Rachel's sepulcher, when he gets there, God sets it up for blessings, sudden blessings to hit his life over and over and over and over again. God commands and allows the position that was at his, that was not in his favor, being the least, being the smallest, being the place now that will become his coming forth of his blessing, of his establishing, of God proving himself, God bringing him from the rear to the front, God empowering him, God setting him up to be the example of what he can do. Because God always takes, as I said, unlikely people. He loves to do that to show himself great and mighty. And even though the Bible talks about Saul's, his looks and his stature, he didn't even see himself as great God that he was called to be. And how we know that is when Goliath is on the scene. The Bible lets us know the statue of Saul, lets him know that he's a very tall man, that he's very good looking. But yet when Goliath comes and he himself can defeat Goliath, within him was not the strength or the courage, the self-esteem that was needed for him to possess the authority that of assurance that God was with him and for him and that God was going to bless him and cause him to be victorious. Even though we see that God causes blessing after blessing to hit him at Rachel's grave, Rachel's sepulcher, he did not in himself believe completely and fully and embrace what God had for him, so that even as his reign and as king, we see that insecurity, that lesser than, the place that he saw himself being on his mind, on his life. And I pray that you've been empowered by this. We're going to go into this a little bit more on tomorrow, Lord willing, and we're going to talk more about this place, the disadvantage and the eyesight, because we don't want the enemy to steal from us anymore. I'm Pastor Cheryl Faxon. I pray that you've been encouraged and you've been empowered in this 15 minutes, and pray that you will see yourself in the light of what God says and not what the enemy or the circumstance says, and embrace it fully, that God knows what he's doing with you. God bless you, and I pray that we'll see you on tomorrow. Be blessed.